Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Our speaker today is a professor of the University of Washington School of Drama, director of the Alexander Technique Training and Performance Studio in Seattle. And she is currently a theatrical director of Luciana Aire Theatrical Wonders.
Well, actually, I'll just say I'm a creative collaborator for them.
Okay, that's... creative collaborator of yes. The Theatrical Wonders. Please welcome Kathy Madden. Kathy, please share your wisdom with us. We're ready.
Oh. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, everyone, for hosting. Thank you for inviting me to do this. And I invite you to be with me while I'm with you, speaking from Seattle, as I offer some respect to the Coast Salish people who have stewarded the land on which I stand for many generations. When people ask me what I do, what is this integrative Alexander technique? My cherished answer is that it is constructive, conscious kindness to yourself, cooperating with your design, serving your desires and dreams. Lots of words there. Now, many people come to the Alexander process for a variety of reasons. Some come because things aren't working quite the way they want to. Either it's uncomfortable, they hurt, and they've heard that the Alexander technique can be helpful. Some people are recovering from injuries, and many people study it because they're building skills towards excellence, and they've heard that the Alexander technique can be useful in that way. Not many people come looking for a kindness tool, but along the way, as they go deeper into the Alexander technique process, they realize that the Alexander technique can integrate everyday kindness into the nooks and crannies of your daily life. And as it does that, it gives you opportunities to bring kindness into your activities and your world. So what I want to offer tonight is a kindness-based introduction to the Alexander technique process. And it's going to be an active one, which also reminds me to really thank you for inviting me into whatever space you're watching me from. You know, it's an honor to be in your homes or in your studios, wherever you are. So I'm going to first invite you to go ahead and stand up, because there's a few things that we just want to put in place as we start this process. Ideas that we need to carry with us as we're getting the first pieces of practice. So go ahead and just walk to somewhere in your space. You can walk off camera too if you like. Now, just for a moment, consider how much just happened. You thought, and kindly, you heard what I said, and you kindly said, okay, I'll walk somewhere. and thousands of things in your system responded to your thought. I have a lot of gratitude for that. One could consider that a kindness of our system if we wanted to. I thought something, a whole bunch of things happened. We'll need that piece of information as we continue. And then if you happen to have somebody with you, you could do this with a partner. It works best with a partner, but it kind of works on your own as well. So go ahead and put one arm out in front of you. And just sort of, you're deciding to keep it there and just test the strength of that. And we're going to have a little moment that's a little unkind, but we're doing it in the service of kindness. Think, I can't hold my arm up. Just think that. And then test that strength again. Okay. Now please restore back to kindness as I can hold my arm up here, asking and test it again. So thought is powerful. And constructive thought is amazing. That yes thought. So thought is powerful. What we think and how we think it is powerful. This is really the, you know, just to return to the theme, our embodied self, everything affects everything else. So we're learning to take advantage of that. Now, one of the things that we'll be looking at is that as vertebrates, the relationship between head and spine and movement's a key factor in determining our overall coordination. But to look at that, I want to start with, first, everybody point as close as you can to where your head sits on your spine. And I can't see most of you, so I won't know where you're pointing. Okay. Now, I imagine that many people pointed back here and some people pointed down here. It's a little more accurate if you point between your ears. So our head sits on our spine in the middle, in between our ears. And this actually can be really important in the Zoom world. We've got to really think in dimension. And sometimes when I'm teaching this with a group of engineers, I might say, if you were going to put the major support structure for something in the middle or the back, where would you put it? And it is in the middle. It curls through the middle. We're not going to go into a lot of anatomy today, but that's an important piece to start with. And this is a moving relationship, also really important. We can only do half of this if we're on our own, but your head, this head sits in kind of a cup, two of them, not just one. Like, I don't have that many hands. And then the skull has a corresponding curving shape that fits in here. So go ahead and do that with your hands. If you happen to have a second person, you could one could be the top of the spine and the other one could be the head. Now, the important thing as I start talking about this is as we are in our coordination, we're going up and down and round all the time. Every time we breathe, we are in that kind of movement. It's normal, so we don't notice it. But as I talk about this head and spine relationship, I think it's really important to know it's a moving relationship. We're looking at the overall quality of that and whether what we're doing in that relationship is helping us or getting in our way. Okay, so that's sort of three things that we need as we head into the next step on this. And I put those in there in my introduction now because those are kind of stepping stools, hoping to, as we start looking at this process, to keep us resilient and moving and really honoring our perfect selves. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I think whenever we engage in something, we're always doing perfectly what we know based on the information we have. So when we get new information, that may change what perfect looks like, but there's sort of a through line of I'm doing everything I know based on the information I have. So as we go into the next steps, just keep that in your frame. That again is a kindness to yourself. If you really deeply understand that you're always doing perfectly what you know based on the information you have, including that you're seeking more information. So you have decided to come gather some information at the embodiment conference and specifically about this kindness version of integrative Alexander technique. Okay, now go ahead and find something you can reach for. Because I say integrative Alexander technique because I teach this always connected to things of daily life. So for tonight's or today's purposes, depending on where you are, we're going to just use reaching for an object. It could be a cup. I chose reaching for this flower. All the props I use tonight are things that somehow represent kindness for me. So someone kindly gave me this flower, and I thought, that's what I'll use. So as I bring out props, know they all have a bit of kindness attached to them as well. So just go ahead and reach for your object. That's just how you would do that now, and go ahead and put it back down. Now, the easiest way to understand the importance of this relationship between head and spine is a little bit of practicing with the reverse. It seems to illustrate it the best. So we're going to scrunch up a little bit in that head-spine relationship, thinking of it, though, as a kindness in terms of learning. It'll be a momentary scrunch, but we'll come out of it. So just go ahead and scrunch up a little bit and pick that object up again. And you can leave off that scrunching. Now, I know in the people I can see, you very kindly played with that moment of scrunching. Key question there is, did anything else happen to you besides that scrunch between head and spine? And just in the nature of this format, so Jessica's showing me something across here. I know that it suddenly seemed, my object suddenly seemed further away from me. Amy's talking in the chats, noting she made a scrunchy face.
Someone is asking, what is the scrunching?
So the scrunching, I'll switch models and come back to this then. So if this is, everybody can put one finger up to be your body. And we're going to put a very large head on top. So we're designed so that our head, as we were playing with, can move in all kinds of ways, so that we can walk down the street, look around, do what we're doing. When we interfere with our design, which is the thing we're starting to play with, our head gets pulled towards the spine, and we can still manage to walk down the street, but it's at the cost of some efficiency and pleasure. And we'll come back to this model. So that's what I mean by scrunch. Did that answer the question? It actually comes from my daughter. When she was 5, someone asked her what she thought the Alexander technique was, and she said, oh, it just means you don't have to scrunch up your neck all the time. So, and I use head spine rather than neck because it's more accurate, but okay, thanks. Okay, for the question. The other things I've sometimes noticed, people sometimes feel crabby when they start tightening between head and spine, just that kind of uncomfortableness. Sometimes the senses don't report as accurately. Sometimes people report cloudy thinking. Lots of times people report just it's harder to do it. So going back to this model, if you ask, you've got this pressure in your system, what we're asking to do is to restore to that design. And I'm going to use the verb to coordinate for that. So if I've been interfering by putting pressure in that relationship, I'm going to restore to asking to coordinate. So my head moves, the rest of me follows. So if you look at your model, it isn't that I put my head somewhere else. It's the absence of the scrunch, which is what I'm calling coordinating. That, yeah, I just saw a couple of people make a nice change in my screen. It's very cool. So if we go back to this reaching for the object, and you start out a little bit compacted here, and just as you go, ask to coordinate that for that restoration in the midst of doing it. Yeah. And that's the essence of the kindness, that restoration. With the other beautiful piece about this work is you don't have to stop what you're doing to use it. It's something you can integrate into the fabric of your life. Let me invite another model for you. This is a wonderful pipe cleaner skeleton made by Ken Ano, one of my friends. So you can see heads designed to move in all kinds of ways, running around the streets. And that if I interfere with the design, everything gets scrunched somewhere. And I could push here and I could pull there, but everything just gets pushed somewhere else, because as long as that pressure is in the system, it's hard to make a change. So if you ask to coordinate, the whole system comes back to how it's designed. So instead of pushing yourself around, you can kindly invite the whole system back. Now, ideally, we would never have interfered with that design, and some people don't. But sometimes we get ideas of how we're made that are inaccurate. I once taught someone who, you know, thought the top of their pelvis was their leg joint. So, you know, they had this tightening in their system all the time because they were acting on an idea that wasn't quite accurate. And as they asked to, and just changing, oh, it's at this other joint, wasn't going to work anymore because there was already pressure in the system from the interference. But asking to coordinate, head moves, all of you follows, so that you remove the interference, then they could start moving at the actual joint. Okay. All right. Any questions or wonders or noticings at this point that anyone wants to throw in that question and answer box?
Someone was saying, Alisa was saying, can't breathe as well when I scrunch.
Yeah.
And I noticed that as well.
Yeah, maybe useful to just put in another image. If you have a pillow nearby and you decide one end is the top. Again, if you put pressure into the whole pillow, everything gets pushed around. And you could try and get the pillow back to its original shape, but as long as you've got pressure in the top, into the whole system, it can't make the shift. So you ask to coordinate head spine. And this is the thing. Sometimes I call this, and particularly since this is, some of you are probably martial artists, this is useful to know. We're looking at how the musculoskeletal taxi cab for the electromagnetic system and all the other systems work. As long as I've got this pressure in the system, things can't flow in the meridians in the way that they're designed to either. So we're trying to get that musculoskeletal taxi cab reorganized so it can serve the other things that you might be doing. I know when you ask to coordinate head moves, all of you follows, you have created a grounded relationship to the world. Anything else in the chat, Anna?
Let's see, we don't have anything else on the Q&A, but in the chat, Alisa says, really appreciate that you noted you don't have to stop what you're doing to use it. Mm-hmm. Can you say more about the taxi cab, the body as a vehicle?
Right. I sometimes say that because we might, sometimes people will talk about wanting to move from center. Well, that center is an electromagnetic center that is supported by the musculoskeletal taxi cab moving around. So I know that when I have pressure in my system, the ability for chi to flow is limited. But as soon as I ask to coordinate, head moves, all of me follows, my ability for chi to flow also has changed, just because I'm not pushing the channels all in undesigned directions. Okay. So the kindness, so the kindness perspective just there is sometimes people are trying to get something to happen and their system just can't do it because this pressure is in there. And they don't know that there's pressure in there because it's what they've usually done. A lot of us just ended up putting that pressure in there because that's how we saw somebody do something. And this just gives us a very beautiful little key that we can use in any moment of our lives to restore in order to do what we want to do. I see a good question in there from Mirina.
Okay. Irina, yes. Is it just a verbal ask or a physical effort as well?
Ooh. Okay, so let's go back to the first thing we did. I asked you to walk across the room, and you did. So that's what I sometimes call minking and thuving, which is, if you have figured out, it's thinking and moving. They are the same. So sometimes I'll say minking and thuving. So a verbal ask is a psychophysical or a biopsychosocial whole ask. We are always embodied. Every ask affects the whole system. And there is a physical response. I think you can probably see it in me if I put the pressure, if I interfere and then I ask to coordinate, my whole system starts to follow, my whole spine and the whole self changing. Nice, I've seen some watching my windows. So we are always whole. So sometimes someone will, you know, I was thinking about this. I think we are always embodied. Whether or not we cooperate with that may be the question. Maybe we're tightening, so we're not cooperating with our full embodiment. But we are always a whole being responding.
I have a personal note. So just a few months ago, a couple, I noticed that my response was always this. I was always clenching. And people were like, you know, you do the yoga practice or any other thing, and they're like, open the chest and being like this is really hard, and then relax. And my body response was just doing this all the time.
Right. That's the push.
Yeah. That's relax, relax. It's hard. Yeah.
Well, it's that's the pushing parts around. So apparently you were doing this, and then they told you to relax, but then that wasn't, you couldn't do anything there. Then you started doing something else. That's the gold of this. I'm talking whole system. Instead of saying open here. So that's one of the tricky ones. So sometimes people will see this and think they'll blame it on the poor arms, you know? It's the arms are in the only place they have left to be. If I ask to coordinate head moves, all of me follows. My arms, I didn't change anything in my arms, but now they're well supported by the whole system. So this gives you a way to talk whole so that you can use the parts more effectively. And what you're talking about is exactly that essence of kindness. So instead of pushing yourself around like you were looking at the pillow, you're going, okay, everything's coming in this way. I seem to be doing this. What if instead I ask to coordinate as new stimulus arrives so that I have more of my resources available to the moment? And my desire to emphasize the kindness perspective on this really, really in part did come from this pandemic we're all dealing with, in that people were coming to my classes and saying, you know, I went to the grocery store and I felt really upset and angry when I left because people were moving away from me. People were tightening if I got to, every time someone seemed to get close. And they talked about that, not just in the grocery store, but walking out on the street, that everyone was kind of tightening, trying to deal with this new world. And I realized that consistent pressure coming into your system, it's unpleasant. It really is unpleasant to do. And it starts to affect your relationships to yourself and the world. So the ability to see somebody coming, you know, when you're walking in the store and choose to go a little further away doesn't need to be accompanied by, oh, I got to go over here. It can be accompanied by asking to coordinate, calling my whole self via head spine, so that I can offer all of us the kindness of giving the space needed. So that it can become a kindness practice walking down the street.
Yeah, I resonate a lot with that. Grew up in a big city.
So even without the...
Yeah, I can't handle them anymore. Okay. Andrew says, little things. He practices Qigong, and in the training, they taught him that movement originates from the Dan Tian.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if I'm pronouncing it right.
Yeah.
And then he's asking if we are talking about the same thing related with the a spine head movement.
I would say yes. And this is where the musculoskeletal taxicab comes in again. So if Dantian, which is essentially an electromagnetic center, an energetic center, if I am discoordinating, my system has pressure in it, it's hard for that system to actually function as designed. So if I take care of asking to coordinate so my head can move, so all of me can follow, then I can move. Then that movement within the meridians that flows through the dantian is more available to me than if I've got pressure in my, if I do this, ugh, it's hard in all kinds of ways, but I really could ask for something from the dantian, but it's not going to function very well. But if I ask to coordinate head spine and I ask that system to work, now I have, I'm sort of doing cloud hands, kind of. I'm doing a fake version of Qigong right now, but I have the, if I do this and do that pattern, can you see what happens? And if I ask to coordinate, so this is, in a way to think of the Alexander process is as an enabler. It's the underlying coordination. It precedes and accompanies everything you do, whether or not you know about it. I've been told by people who study Tai Chi Chuan that the Alexander technique is essentially the first principle of Tai Chi, is this ability for this head-spine relationship to be clear. So it's very, it's the thing that enables that lead to work for you. And the other ways that it functions in kindness, I thought I'd offer some examples. There was someone I taught years ago. He worked on a ranch, and he arrived at my studio, and had a really bad headache. And I asked him, you know, what happened? What's going on? Why do you have, do you know when this started? And he said, oh, I know exactly when it started. All the people working for me walked off yesterday at 3 o'clock before they were done. And it was so interesting. I started to say, ah, so you tighten between head and spine when they left. And he suddenly went, wait a second, they already walked off the job on me. I don't need to let them give me a headache, do I? Right. This isn't going to help you get the work done. So it's this little bit of take charge. And then for myself, I used to, when people asked me questions, and this when I was first teaching, I realized every time someone asked me a question, I was tightening. And I thought, well, that's not what I want to teach. That's not the example I want to give. And it took me a while to figure out, but there I was tightening because I thought I needed to know the answer. I thought I couldn't say I don't know. There were all kinds of these weird little old messages in there that I'd learned somewhere along the way. And now, when a question comes, I just ask, it's actually an invitation to coordinate so I can gather the information I need to answer first, to hear the question and then answer it. Okay. Mm. And I see a question from Brad.
Yeah. How can we remind ourselves to let go of the tightness as much as possible, especially in our reflexes or intrinsic habits? It's easy enough after yoga class or walking into a store, but what about movements or actions that are more reflex or simply habit-based? For example, getting out of bed. Are we constantly remind ourselves to clear our head-spine relationship? That sounds exhausting. How do we get used to remind ourselves?
Well, there's one. Tightening every time is also exhausting, I will note. So, and has a cost. And I bet, Brad, you've already had a few experiments with me of just little moments of, oh, I can coordinate and do this. I can coordinate and do this. Like many, there's some research that when we want to make changes, the easiest way for our systems to do that is to give ourselves what's called an external cue. And that all that means is maybe I decide every time I pick up a cup, I would like to consider using this process. Now, if we give ourselves that, it has to be sort of, you know, if I forget it, it's not, oh no, bad me, I forgot it, because that's not the point. But if I decide in my day that every time I pick up a cup, I'm curious about asking to coordinate head spine so that I can pick up the cup. And maybe, and so that cue is attached to a process. And that process has some reward or value we care about. So, Brad, that's the easiest way to do it, is pick one thing. We go, I'm going to do it all the time. That is going to be tricky. And the other thing is, I'm asking and just experimenting, gathering the information. And to a certain extent, you know, it just becomes part of daily life, that you wouldn't even notice that you're doing it, because it has become what I call a studied, rehearsed plan. So I've just decided I'm curious about the cup. And after a while, just seeing the cup, I start to ask to coordinate head moves, all of me follow, so that I can do what I'm doing. And it's a plan that's flexible to circumstance, because if my cup was over here, what I'm doing is going to be different. But it's a plan that I study and rehearse and becomes available to me moment to moment through my life.
Does anybody have any other questions? You can use the Q&A. Not for the moment, but what other exercises would you have? Do you have that you recommend us to practice more and more?
Right. What I recommend is that people experiment with the things that they care about. And we can do, let's play with, I'll offer a little warm-up that I sometimes do. And you can stand up. And this is specifically a kindness-related one. In fact, I'll switch my camera view for a moment. So see what happens. We're going to ask to coordinate via head spine, and just move your right foot around. Now, just to show a little bit more about the head spine relationship, just scrunch up a little bit again and move that right foot around. I'm always surprised when I see how much that's affected. Now go ahead and ask to coordinate. Head moves, all of you follows, while we watch my cat go by. Okay, and move your feet around. So what I'm going to do now is, I just wanted to offer that because it's, again, an example of how powerful this relationship is. See, I could put my hand in the air, which is highly unnecessary for what I'm doing. But it's not really affecting the movement of my foot. But as soon as there's pressure in my head spine, my foot can't even quite go in that circle. So if you want to play with something that's just really emphasizing the kindness to yourself as a very quick warm-up in the morning, you could ask to coordinate head moves, all of you follows, as you look at your right foot moving. And kinder head moves, all of you follows, offering kindness to that left foot moving. So you're consciously waking up this cooperation in your system and asking to coordinate head spine, looking at your lower right leg, offering kindness, and the same thing to your left leg. And I'm emphasizing looking at it, so you're really seeing yourself in dimension. That's also a kindness. We're working so much with two-dimensional media. Really seeing yourself dimensionally can be a big kindness in terms of comfort and efficiency. And asking to coordinate head spine so you can look at your right leg moving and offer it kindness and asking to coordinate. Head moves, all of you follows your lower leg moving, your whole left leg. And you're offering kindness to yourself. You're consciously considering that kindness as you move your torso around, watching your torso move, asking to coordinate. Head moves, all of you follows, offering kindness to yourself. And the same thing with your right hand, kind, asking to coordinate. Head moves, all of you follows, the fingers of your right hand, your whole right hand, your lower right arm, asking to coordinate as you offer kindness to yourself. And your whole right arm. And fingers of your left hand, asking to coordinate, offering kindness as you do it, offering kindness to your left hand, moving around, and your lower left arm. So watching the movement and asking to coordinate, head moves, all of you follow so that you can offer kindness to your whole left arm moving. And I have to hold my headphones on, but to move your head around, it's the only one you can't look at, asking to coordinate so your head can move, so all of you can follow, so that you can offer kindness to yourself. Okay.
Thank you. Right. We have a question from Ross. Mm-hmm. What are you actually doing to your neck and spine when you are realigning? Is it intentional focus like Feldenkrais, or are you physically changing something?
Yes, there is a change. I am willing a change. Again, there's a little bit in the question of separation of thought and movement. So if I focus on an ask, so I could, for instance, I could just say, coordinate head spine so all of me can follow. If I don't have an intention for it to make a change, nothing happens. So as I ask to coordinate, head moves, all of me follows, my whole spine is and rest of myself is responding to that thought in a movement that's restoring to design. And that's the interesting part about learning this, because I'm not pushing myself around. I'm not going, okay, put my head there, put this here, put that there. No, I'm right. I'm learning to re-coordinate and invite my system to move. And this is, the movement is in the underlying coordination rather than in the big gestural movement. And so go ahead and everybody just play with that scrunch and unscrunch. So the scrunch you did, so you're moving head spine here. And instead of moving it in a way that puts pressure in, we're asking to, I'll use my daughter's words, unscrunch. And as we unscrunch, it's very much like what's happening. I have to get, I pushed him around a little too much. If this whole system squishes, you see the head moves and all of you follows. And if I take the pressure out, yeah. I'm just watching Jessica and Joshua change. So it's like, yeah. So, yeah. So it is movement. It's the movement in the underlying coordination. And what's interesting, the more you insist that we mink and thuv, so thinking and moving are intimately connected, the more fascinating our processes become.
Amy says, do you ever come across someone who tries to say and intend kindness for movement, but there is more resistance than thinking this?
Yes, so what I talked about before, that we do perfectly what we know based on the information we have. So the thing you're calling resistance, Amy, is probably something that somebody learned along the way that made sense at the time. They may not even know that they still think it. But it's a piece of information that they learned that maybe if they behave a certain way, something will go wrong. And so when they start making a change, their system tightens again. And that's where as you learn this work, you end up doing lots of little bits of detective work. A story that really illustrates this well is somebody in the actor training program years ago. He was really having trouble with his voice. And for whatever reason, well, I think I know why now, but he hated the Alexander technique. And he'd come to class and he'd sit in the corner and be as scrunched up as possible, really. But his voice was getting so bad that the faculty was saying, you know, we're not going to put you in a show until you solve this. So he came to class the next time and said, look, I think this would help. Can we have another go? Okay. And then he did. He had another experiment. He looked a little scared for a moment, and then he turned and he looked up at me and he said, my mom always said I'd lose my head if I didn't keep it on. If you're 5 years old and you think you're going to lose your head, this is a good idea, sort of. It's not true, but you're five. You don't know. And, you know, he was probably 25 at the time, and he was hurting his voice that way. But he didn't remember that was why it was important to keep tightening here. You know, so probably in his first lessons, he got really scared. And I missed that moment. So and it was very funny the whole next week, because he's asked to coordinate the rest of the week. He'd see me in the hall and go, it will stay on. So for about a week, he had to keep going, my head will stay on, my head will stay on. And then what you might have called resistance was gone. But I always think anything that appears as resistance is just, there's something that just needs a little detective work. It leads a little new information. And that's what leads to the next possibility. That's why people use this sometimes for skill building, because they're doing what they're doing okay, but they've reached a plateau. And there's just some idea in the way every time they try and make a change. And they just go, okay, I can ask, I can ask.
Yeah, there's a lot of kindness in all that. Thank you very much. Do you have anything? We have 3 minutes left before I have to wrap up.
Yes.
Anything else?
Well, what I wanted to offer, and I know most of us can't see each other, but what I wanted to offer is that we can take first start with asking to coordinate. Head moves, all of us follow, so we can offer kindness to ourselves. And then consider the whole world. We're all around the world right now, reaching to each other. Yeah, nice. And go ahead and offer kindness to everyone else by reaching out to hold hands with everyone in a gigantic circle of kindness. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Right. So, thank you, Kathy. That was very insightful and very kind. I enjoyed it very much. I hope you did too, Anna. As well.
I did too. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to invite you all to the next session in this channel with Rafi Kelly. It's about the connection between movement and growth. I can't pronounce it. Raufusin and the Artial Arts. Please join. It's in 1 hour. And we also have the coffee breaks in the community section of the website. Click over there, share anything that you'd like to share with the community, connect. And connect also on Facebook. We are posting all the links over there. Marta, if you help us with the links. And they are in the chat. Thanks to our sponsor for making this possible, to all of you for you being here. Marta, do you think we can run the video of the sponsor? Give it a try.
Yes, let's try it again.
Yes. Okay. Actually, our sponsor is the next speaker. So, yeah.
Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and healing arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts. And I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the main stage in the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram. Get all your awesome embodiment giveaways. And for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's going to be an awesome show.
Thank you, Marta. The video didn't run that well, but we heard. And that was really good. To see everything that Kathy has to offer, you can check her website, Kathy Madden, with 2Ds, .net. The link is in the chat as well. And the full content of the conference has a 50% discount right now through the duration of the conference. When you purchase it, you have a lifetime access to everything. And it gives you learning list for a structure. It gives you notes of each one of the sessions to give it a quick view. It gives you audios to listen on the go. And if you're like me, that needs to process all the information and integrate what you just learned, it is really, really, really good and is an amazing price, great opportunity. You'll also be helping to make this accessible to everybody else, and you will be supporting all the team from the Embodiment Conference that made this crazy and amazing idea possible. Finally, Kathy, what is your top tip on how to be embodied?
Integrative Alexander Technique practice is a way to cooperate with your embodiment through each of the moments of your life.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for being here
with
us.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Joshua. And
thank you, Joshua.
Jessica, for volunteering. Mm-hmm. Beautiful faces. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Love.
Yes. Thank you, Anna.
Bye-bye.